Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio and Archie Comics present Archie, Volume 5, by Mark Waid and Audrey Mock. Narrated by Bradley Foster Smith and performed by a full cast.
Chapter 1. Bruising.
5 days ago, I let Reggie Mantle bully me into a drag race. I knew it was a stupid thing to do. But at least I hit the "this is crazy stupid" brakes the second I saw Betty Cooper coming. Reggie did not.
Crazy idiot!
She was driving up to stop us. And instead, Mantle's car accidentally knocked Betty's right off a cliff. I've loved Betty since we were kids. We're not a couple right now, but that doesn't change how I feel. Or how much I want to tear into Reggie with my bare hands. The crash put Betty in a coma.
Archie Andrews kneels next to Betty Cooper's hospital bed. The pale light of dawn illuminates the flowers that fill the room.
When she came out of it, she couldn't move her legs.
He brushes his fingers against her cheek.
Arch, good night.
Archie turns from Betty and looks sadly at her mother and father, sleeping in nearby chairs. They look worried and exhausted.
Mr. and Mrs. Cooper are waiting for a diagnosis. Pray for them.
Later, the Coopers sit in the doctor's office and listen as he explains the situation.
And we believe what Betty experienced is called a gliding contusion. Due to the impact of either the crash or the fall, Betty's brain experienced a bruising whiplash. That accounted for her coma. Now that she's conscious, we're running some tests to determine the extent of the damage and examine her spinal cord. It may be whole, and her paralysis may be due to some lesser form of trauma. But we need to prepare ourselves for a more realistic verdict. She needs, you need, to accept that Betty may be bound to a wheelchair.
Hal Cooper buries his face in his hands.
No.
I'm sorry. Please tell her.
Tears appear in the doctor's eyes.
Please tell her that my daughter sends her best. She loves her little math tutor very much.
A wheelchair?
Back in Betty's hospital room, Archie is stunned by the news. Betty's mother, Alice, takes his hand.
Go on home, honey. We'll call you when she's ready for visitors.
Arch shakes his head in disbelief.
A wheelchair? That's not... Her whole life is baseball. And working on cars and track and field and...
We know.
Betty's father, Hal, glares angrily at Archie. Arch hangs his head in guilt as he walks out of the room and into the hallway, where Veronica and Jughead are waiting for news.
Guys, we have to do something for Betty. Show her how much the whole town...
Archie slumps into a chair and hangs his head.
Something.
Chapter 2. Like, emails?
And Sheila, you write the get well cards to the veterans.
She does that too?
Well, you know, after her brother and all.
The next day at Pop's Chocolate Shop, Veronica Lodge, Sheila Wu, Tony Topaz, Raj Patel, and Jughead Jones are all huddled around the counter. Veronica is scribbling on paper, making a list.
Okay, that's not everything, but it's a start.
Pop Tate looks up from his cleaning duties.
You five sound busy.
We're gonna be. We're gonna show our support for Betty by filling in on all her volunteer work.
Pop leans in to look at the paper.
That's a long list.
That's why the entire town loves Betty Cooper. None of us had any real idea just how much she does for Riverdale. If we split these action items up, we may at least put a dent in...
In what?
They look up to see Archie, who is trying and failing
to look cheerful.
Figured you'd guys be here. What you working on?
All of the kids look like deer in headlights, frozen with panic. The last person in the world they wanted to show up was Archie, the perpetual klutz. The incredible ability of Archie to foul up the simplest of tasks was renowned around the town of Riverdale.
Stepping up to do all Betty's community work. There are only 5 of us, but we'll try to get to everything.
6! Let me pitch in.
Hang on, sweetie.
Huh?
Veronica takes Archie by the arm and steers him away from the other kids, who prepare to shoot fingers.
Okay, on shoot. 1, 2, 3, shoot!
Everyone's holding out 2 fingers except the dark-skinned, purple-haired Tony Topaz, who holds out 1.
Ugh.
They rejoin Archie and Veronica.
Archie, you're going to help Tony coach Pee-wee soccer.
Great!
Jughead watches with concern as a grinning Archie leaves with a sour-looking Tony.
Hey, Arch. Be careful, okay?
I'll be fine. Thanks.
Soon, Archie finds himself snarled in a goal net, being pummeled by junior soccer balls.
Help!
Tony sits on a bench with a clipboard, looking utterly exasperated.
Okay, no more laps if you can get him out of there. Don't use scissors, though, because you might hurt Mr. Andrew. Use scissors.
The Pee-wee soccer team manages to free Archie, who then approaches Tony sheepishly, covered in bits of string.
I'm more of a football guy, actually.
You don't say.
A soccer ball hits the back of his head.
Sorry. What do you need me to do?
Tony glares at him.
Go help Raj.
Later, at the park.
Just some basic gardening work, nothing complicated. Rake or mower?
Rake. I don't step on nearly as many of them as my dad says I do.
Mower, then. I gave Archie a lawnmower.
Later, at the Riverdale Retirement Community.
Hey, Jug. What you need doing?
I'm teaching the seniors about computer basics.
Like emails?
Exactly. Even you can send emails, Archie. Do you want to show them?
Sure.
Hey?
Nap time.
Let's go.
Who turned out the lights?
How?
Chapter 3. Hurry.
Having monumentally screwed up every simple task assigned to him, Archie sits glumly on a curb, 1 foot stuck in a paint can, yellow paint splotching his freckled face and varsity jacket. A police officer approaches and looks down at the mess of a teenager.
Tell Betty, love from all of us at the precinct.
Will do.
The officer continues on his beat, and Archie is left alone with his thoughts.
It's not fair. I want to do something, too. She needs to know how much Riverdale loves her.
He takes out his phone, and his eyes brighten.
Mrs. Cooper?
She's awake, dear. And she's asking for you. Hurry.
Archie tracks yellow paint all the way to Betty's hospital room.
Archie!
Betty!
Archie kneels by her, and they embrace, their foreheads touching. Mr. Cooper frowns, but holds his tongue.
Everyone at the pet shelter says hi, and everybody at the library, and...
Folks?
The doctor raps on the doorframe as he enters. He doesn't look happy.
Hi. We have some results.
Betty braces herself. She holds her parents' hands with one hand and Archie's with her other.
The good news, the miracle, is that there's no trauma to the spinal cord.
Oh, thank God.
However, I've consulted with some colleagues, and we believe the contusions to your brain are the problem. That doesn't allow much treatment. All we can do right now is wait and see if your brain heals by itself. That could take months. I'm being perfectly honest with you. You're going to need a wheelchair, and the odds of you getting out of it are 1,000 to 1.
No one knows what to say. Ashen-faced, they look to Betty. A single tear streaks down her cheek, but her blue eyes blaze with defiance.
I'll take those odds.
Chapter 4. Meanwhile, Dilton and Moose.
Boy genius Dilton Doily sits against an orange sports car with a license plate, Mantle 1. The tires have been slashed. In one hand, Dilton holds his cell phone, staring at the image of Betty Cooper on its screen. In his other hand, he holds a knife.
Huh?
He looks up to see Moose Mason towering above him. Riverdale's star quarterback offers his hand. Dilton wipes away a tear, then grabs a hold and is pulled to his feet. They walk away together, Moose's arm around his little buddy's shoulders.
Chapter 5. The Heart of Riverdale.
Archie walks along the sidewalk of downtown Riverdale, holding a 2-foot-high tower of flyers, hot off the presses. Jughead walks alongside him.
That's a bold thing to carry on such a windy day.
I'm good. Look, check it out. I came up with something. It took all day, but I got these printed up.
Jug takes a flyer off the top of the stack and reads,
Betty Cooper, Candlelight Vigil, tonight 9 p.m., Riverdale Park. All welcome. This is good. I like this a lot. Bravo.
Arch struggles a bit to keep the stack from slipping.
She's gonna fight this, Jug, but she's gonna need all the support Riverdale has to spare. I have to let people know so they can let her know. I figure I've got just enough time to get these on a bunch of cars and telephone poles and all before it gets dark and too late and... Whoa.
The wind from a passing truck scatters the papers into the air.
No!
The boys scramble to snatch flyers, but it's a lost cause. They are carried off in a million directions.
No.
Devastated, Archie hangs his head and turns to go.
Arch, that was an accident. It could have happened to anybody.
He waves Jughead off.
I thought I could help. I can't even do that.
Archie makes his way to the park and sits by himself atop a hill, watching darkness fall. He shakes his head miserably.
I can't even do that. I just wanted them to show her. I just wanted her to know.
Hey.
Archie turns to see Veronica, her dark hair fluttering in the wind. She sits down beside him in the grass.
Been looking everywhere for you.
Why? What does anybody need me for? To throw a big party and not invite anyone? I'm just a big albacore.
Albatross. And no, you're not.
Tears spill from Archie's eyes.
I don't know what to do. I love her so much, and I feel so helpless.
Ronnie holds him tight as he buries his head in her shoulder.
This should never have happened to her. She's the heart. Betty's the heart of Riverdale, and now she's broken.
Hey.
Veronica notices something in the tree line.
I don't think so. Look.
Archie Andrews looks up. What he doesn't see are the myriads of paths taken by each individual flyer as they tumble through the air, scattering all over the town of Riverdale. He doesn't see the shops and businesses along Main Street shutting down early, the police precinct with the skeleton crew, or the throngs of well-wishers walking with single-minded purpose toward Riverdale Park at 9 p.m. What he does see are the pinpoints of hundreds of candles glittering in the darkness, in the shape of the initials B.C., surrounded by a giant, shimmering heart.
Chapter 6. I Got This.
As surprised exactly no one, Betty was back at action about 3 times faster than her doctors advised.
Betty, we can postpone the exam.
No need. I can do it. But thank you.
Everyone was sort of amazed that she tried to normalize bounce back that quick.
I can do it on my own, but thank you.
Everyone but me.
I can do it on my own, but thank you.
I wish I was as strong as her.
Archie pulls a tarp over the pristine vintage muscle car in his driveway, which miraculously emerged from the drag race wreck unscathed.
This is the car I was driving that night. Mach 1 Cobra Jet Mustang. Vintage. Betty and I restored it with our own 4 hands. Actually, she did most of the work, so maybe just 2 hands.
The Mustang covered, Archie thrusts his hands in his pockets and walks off down the street.
I don't want to look at it right now.
His father, Fred Andrews, steps out of the house, morning coffee in hand, and frowns at the tarp-covered car in the driveway. Then he heads next door toward the racket of construction coming from the Cooper's place.
Morning, Hal.
Betty's father glances at Fred grimly, then fixes his attention back on the workmen.
What's with the carpenters?
We have to renovate. Our house can't accommodate a stairlift to Betty's room, so we're moving her downstairs.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. Either I get a second job or Betty'll have to go to community college when she graduates. Maybe both. Neither one makes me a proud father.
Is there anything we can do to help with this? I can send Archie over.
Hal glares at Fred, who shrugs meekly.
Never mind. I'm still working on my morning coffee. Forgive me.
Hal just clenches his jaw.
Hal, come on. Archie braked to save Betty. He knows he screwed up. No, he should not have been racing. But he'd never hurt that girl.
I don't want any contact. None.
You said, and we're honoring that. We've grounded him pretty severely. I'm sure he'll be happy to see her once he's learned his...
I meant with the whole Andrews family.
Hal stares daggers at Fred, who is momentarily speechless.
Go home, Fred.
Chapter 7.
Reggie is a good boy.
So here I am, stuck in my room. Solitary confinement for a month. Just school, no internet, no email, no phone, no friends over, no Betty. And what would I say to her anyway? But as much as all that sucks, there's still one thing that brings me comfort. Mantle's got it worse.
Across town, Vicky Mantle, Reggie's mother, sits in the law offices of Phoebe Kwan.
Vicky, I can't make this go away.
Vicky's eyes are red from weeping, and her eyeliner is smudged with tears.
Please, Phoebe, Reggie is a good boy.
I'm sure, which is why the police gave him a grace period until Betty's condition was determined. But good boy or not, he's been in trouble before. That's not helping him. This time it's drag racing. He drove someone off a cliff, Vicky.
The attorney shakes her head decisively.
There is no legal sorcery that can erase that. He's being charged with vehicular assault and held over until his hearing on Monday. I was at least able to get that moved up.
Will he go to jail?
Lucky for him. A, it's a misdemeanor in this state. And B, you have a very good attorney. I might be able to get it knocked down to probation.
Can you promise?
Phoebe Kwan looks at Vicky Mantle sympathetically.
No.
Meanwhile, Reggie Mantle sits in the back of a squad car, looking sullenly at the flakes of snow drifting down from the gray sky. He hangs his head in disgust, then notices the latest edition of the Riverdale Gazette lying on the seat beside him. Splashed across the front page is a photo of Reggie, sneering, wearing his trademark leather jacket. Above the headlines, Local teen faces charges, victim in wheelchair.
Huh.
The cop in the front passenger seat nudges her partner at the wheel.
You see my newspaper?
Oh, yeah. I think I forgot and left it on the back seat.
The driver grins wickedly and stares at Reg in the rearview mirror.
Got a lot on my mind. Probably on account of how my kid's swim coach is now in a wheelchair.
Hey, Dale Earnhardt. Doesn't your dad own the Gazette? Because I gotta tell ya, he's doing gangbuster business this week.
The squad car passes by the offices of the newspaper, where Reggie's dad, Richard Mantle, peers over the shoulder of an employee who has a headline displayed on her computer monitor.
Mantle boy destroys girl's life.
He shakes his head decisively.
Make it more dramatic. Pump up the angle on the Cooper girl.
The employee is baffled.
Sir, he's your son.
I can't show favoritism. I have to be hard on him.
As Mantle walks away, the employee scowls after him and grumbles under her breath.
And sell papers, you hypocrite.
Chapter 8. But thank you.
No!
In the hallways of Riverdale High, Jughead Jones is on his knees in front of a table marked Cooper Fund Bake Sale, clutching a knife and fork and wearing a bib. Crumbs are all that are left of the delicious, delicious cupcakes.
Sorry, sold out in one period.
Tony Topaz and Raj Patel shrug apologetically.
Maybe next week?
Jughead rises stoically and turns to go.
Wait, do you carry a knife and fork around with you?
I pity those who do not. Until next week, then. Bring double.
As Tony and Raj fold up the table, Archie sidles up to them, backpack slung over one shoulder.
Fundraising, huh? Good call. My dad says that even with their insurance, the Coopers are almost broke. How can I help?
There's a car wash after school. Benefit teacher student baseball tomorrow night. Come as you are party this weekend. Help with those?
Oh, I can't do any of that stuff. I'm grounded. Oh, wait! I can set up a FundMe page.
Dilton already did.
Okay.
Archie hangs his head and mopes away, passing by Cheryl Blossom.
Cheryl! Spare a donation?
I'd love to, but my father, I'm sorry, stepfather, is pretending we're poor even though he's rich. It's a whole thing.
Cheryl tosses her fiery red hair and turns to go. Tony and Raj share a look.
TMI.
My brother and I are going to get to the bottom of it. Don't worry about me.
Raj rolls his eyes as he puts away the donation jar.
If you insist.
Guys!
Betty Cooper rolls up in her wheelchair, grinning broadly.
You shouldn't have. I can make it on my own, but thank you.
We know, but we love you, Coops.
Tony and Raj cart the table and supplies away.
Thank you for being you.
Betty!
Betty looks up to see Dilton Doily trotting up to her.
Hey, Dilton!
Hey! Hi! Hey! I'm still coming over tonight to help you catch up on chemistry, right?
Dilton adjusts his glasses.
And algebra? And French?
Dilton, sweetie.
Betty leans up and kisses Dilton on the cheek.
I think we maybe need to put things on pause right now. Okay?
But...
I know you want to help. A lot. But you're making me feel like a baby. I have to manage on my own.
She wheels off and waves back at him.
But thank you!
Betty wheels herself home, smiling and waving to all the well-wishers on her way. As she heads up the driveway, she spots Fred Andrews next door, staring at the tarp-covered Mustang, his coffee cup steaming in the chill air. She stops by the side door of her house, and as she opens it, she glances up at Archie's window. There's no sign of him. She wheels over the threshold into the living room, which feels a little more cramped on account of her new room being constructed on the first floor. Her father is putting on his coat.
Hi. Where's Mom?
Picking up some overtime. Should be here in about 15. I have to swing by the office. Will you be all right on your own till Mom's home?
I'll be fine. But thank you.
Betty looks out the window.
I haven't seen Archie in days. He's not put off by the wheelchair, is he? I wonder why he hasn't come by.
I have no idea, kitten. Not a clue.
Hal Cooper leans down and kisses his daughter on the top of her head.
You should think that he would. I can stay.
I'm good, but thank you.
Betty heads into her new room, still smelling of fresh paint, and closes the door behind her. She listens to her father leaving the house, then maneuvers her wheelchair alongside her bed. She puts one hand on the nightstand upon which rests a lamp and a framed picture of herself and Archie in better days, and her other hand on her wheelchair's armrest, and hoists herself carefully up out of the seat towards her bed. Suddenly, the wheelchair rolls out from under her, and she falls to the floor, knocking the lamp and picture off the nightstand. She brushes strands of her blonde hair out of her face, fighting back tears. She picks up the lamp as if to set it back on the nightstand, but instead hurls it against the wall in frustration. Tears coursing down her cheeks, she picks up the picture of herself and Archie from the floor. Then she pulls open a dresser drawer, puts the picture in face down, and closes the drawer.
Chapter 9. Family Meeting.
Being, in the words of my dad, grounded pretty severely means I'm pretty much only allowed to leave the house for the essentials. That means that to and from school, I get to pass by all the different ways the community is pulling together for Betty. Car washes, bake sales, face painting. Everybody is using their talents to raise money for her. Betty Cooper is my best friend, probably in the whole world. What am I doing? What have I got to give? And that got me thinking.
It's snowing outside, and Fred Andrews walks into his home with a sense of purpose.
I'm home!
He shrugs off his coat, brushing off snow, and hangs it up.
Archie, Mary, family meeting.
The Andrews family gathers around the kitchen table. Archie doesn't know what's on his father's mind, but he looks serious.
The Coopers are in real financial trouble, Archie. I don't have to tell you that. Or maybe I do. And your mother and I have come to a decision that neither Betty nor you are going to like.
Fred glances over at Mary, then back to his son.
I'm going to sell the Mustang.
Archie is stunned. He starts to shake his head.
Dad, wait, listen.
Son, I realize what that car means to you, but...
Dad, no, you can't.
Archie, this is not a negotiation. We've made up our minds, and you're just going to have to live with it.
Dad, you don't understand.
Archie stands up.
You can't sell that car.
And why not?
Archie closes his eyes and hangs his head, then looks back up at his father.
Because I already did.
Fred and Mary are speechless as they watch their son pull a folded piece of paper from his wallet.
Jughead got online for me, and together we found a buyer. Here's his check. It's made out to me, but I want to give it to Mr. Cooper. Can I do that? Or...
Mary nods, a warm smile spreading across her face.
You can. I'll show you how to endorse it.
She looks at her husband.
Meeting adjourned?
Meeting adjourned.
Fred stands from the table.
I'll tell you what.
He grabs Archie's winter coat and helps him put it on.
Take it over to him now.
I thought I was grounded.
Not today.
Their arms around one another, Fred and Mary stand at the window and watch their son trudge through the deepening snow towards the Cooper's side door. He knocks, and a moment later, Betty's father answers.
Archie.
His eyes narrow.
What are you doing here?
I sold the car.
Archie holds out the check.
Here.
Hal looks skeptical, then takes the check and examines it.
This is for me?
I'm not sure how insurance works, but maybe it can pay for extra physical therapy or something. Or just fix some of the stuff you guys are going through. I don't know. Just one thing.
Archie takes a breath and looks plaintively into Hal's eyes.
Mr. Cooper, I'm worried Betty thinks I'm ignoring her. I need to let her know that I would never do that. My folks said I'm not grounded. Not today. Could I just say hello to her? Just for a second? Please?
Hal doesn't say anything. Instead, he turns away from Archie, check in hand, and closes the door. Dejected, Archie turns and starts to trudge away. He stops beside Betty's first floor bedroom window. It's frosted over, and he can't see inside. He thinks a moment, then reaches out and begins to draw in the frost with his forefinger. Alone in her bedroom, Betty hears a sound and looks over at her window. She sees a simple heart drawn through the ice crystals on the windowpane.
Archie.
Chapter 10. Why won't they call?
My parents always taught me to be kind and forgiving, to always look for the best in people. They brought me up to respect adults, especially our neighbors and friends. Betty's father is a jerk.
It's a sunny winter day at the Lodge Manor golf course. Archie and Veronica are dressed in seasonably warm golfing attire, Ronnie in cool blacks and purples, and Archie in loud yellow plaid.
He still won't let me come anywhere near her. I know he blames me for her accident, Ronnie.
Shh, I'm on the phone, sweetie.
Lodge residents.
Smithers, tell Daddy we're at the golf club.
We?
Me and Archie.
Archie? Did you give him golf clubs?
Yes. Why?
Veronica puts her phone away as Archie sets a ball on the tee.
She lives right next door, and thanks to Mr. Cooper, she might as well be in China.
He shifts his stance and lines up his shot.
I see her at school from a distance, but we're not in any of the same classes right now, not even lunch period, which sucks.
His club goes sailing through the air.
Plus, she's out half the time with her physical therapy. I hope she's holding up all right.
Veronica nods solemnly.
The doctors Daddy flew in all say the same thing. There's nothing they can do. She has to heal on her own. If she heals, the if part being the part that sucks more.
They walk back towards the golf cart. Archie heads for the driver's side.
Hop in.
Veronica grabs hold of Arch and stops him.
You're not driving.
Why not?
Ronnie doesn't bother to answer him as she climbs behind the wheel and Archie sits beside her.
We can do more for her. We can always do more, and we will. Let's change the subject. Did you pack yet for the field trip to Washington? That'll be a fun weekend.
Hmm? Oh, no, I can't go. I don't want to be away from Betty that long in case her dad lets up or she needs me.
The golf cart slows to a halt, and Ronnie turns to Arch.
I love Betty too, Archiekins, and I feel terrible for her. But you talk about her constantly. Can we talk about something else for a change?
Like what?
Us? Should I be... We're still good, right?
Archie is surprised.
That's a dumb question. Come here.
They hug, but unseen by each other, both their faces look troubled. Then Archie hops out of the cart and hoists a bag full of clubs onto his shoulder, upside down.
I've applied here 9 times to be a caddy. Why won't they call?
It's a mystery.
Cool that your dad opened up the course just for us. He does know I'm here, right?
Behind Archie, Veronica sees the family butler Smithers running toward them, leading a small army of first responders.
I may not have mentioned it.
Chapter 11. Matching Hats.
Meanwhile, over in Jughead's backyard, Juggy's enormous, hairy sheepdog rests his paws on Betty's wheelchair armrests. She cradles his head in her hands.
Hot dog! Who's a good boy? You are! Yes, you are! Good boy, hot dog!
She turns to Jughead, who flips a burger on the propane grill.
There is a dog inside there, isn't there?
Something farts every 20 minutes. You want cheese?
I want to wash my hands.
Hot dog leaps down, and Betty examines her hands.
It's weird, isn't it? The muscle cramps and the catching my clothes in the spokes and the banged elbows. And it's the littlest things that bug the most, like how my hands are constantly filthy wheeling this thing around.
Jughead reaches inside his inner jacket pocket and pulls a long chain of wet nap pouches like a magician producing scarves.
Wow. Do you always have wet naps on you?
You never know when ribs might come your way.
You crack me up. You always have. When did we become such good friends?
Jughead grins as he remembers. It had been a beautiful summer day. Betts and Jug were both in junior high, hanging out on the sidewalk, lazily throwing a ball for Hot Dog to fetch.
And that's how I learned how hard it is to pull a teenage boy out of a cement mixer.
This was before or after he almost drowned in a washing machine?
Hot Dog had dutifully brought the ball back to Jughead.
That should be easier to remember than it is, but it's impossible to keep track sometimes.
Jughead threw the ball again, but it had struck a curb and ricocheted into the street.
Ouch. Bad bounce. Stay here, boy. Hot Dog! No! Come here, right this... Hot Dog!
Jughead and Betty had rushed to the nearest veterinarian's office, where they were joined by Tony Topaz and Archie. The friends peered into the dark examining room, where Hot Dog, bandaged and hooked up to an IV, lay sleeping on a metal table. Jughead sat on a stool, tears in his eyes, tenderly stroking the sheepdog's fur.
The doctor said Hot Dog went into shock, but chances are he'll be okay.
Then why don't I feel comforted?
Because nobody's ever seen Jug emotional before, and it's freaky. I'm not sure he knows how to handle it.
Archie approached Jughead, his hand outstretched.
Hey, buddy. We're sorry. We know how you feel.
No, you don't. Go home.
Jug!
You don't know how I feel right here, right now. Nobody does.
Jug glared at them through his tears.
Not a one of you knows what it's like to be me tonight. So just go away.
Betty had gone home, wanting to help, but unsure how. Then her eyes had drifted to her sewing machine, and she'd had an idea. She'd returned to the vet's, where Jughead held vigil over the still-sleeping Hot Dog. He'd looked up to see her standing in the doorway, wearing a crowned beanie just like his own. Despite himself, Jug melted a little that day. He remembers how he'd pulled up another chair, and how Betty had sat down and laid her head on his shoulder, waiting with him. Jug savors the memory, just as he savors a bite of his juicy cheeseburger, fresh off the grill. Hot Dog lounges lazily by Jug's side, hoping for the errant crumb, while Betty holds her plate in her lap.
I'm just glad we are friends. In fact, that's why I asked you over. I have an idea.
Well, you didn't have to bait me with food.
Jughead pops a potato chip in his mouth.
There's another kind of bait? So, you're not allowed to see Archie where you two can just talk.
Nope. Not even text. Email keystrokes are logged. Dad even had the phone company block his number. You know all this.
I just need to make sure I have it all straight. And Archie's not allowed to talk to you.
Exactly.
Jughead reaches over and picks a chip off Betty's plate.
Because?
Because my dad hates Archie with the heat of 1,000 suns after the accident. Forget Reggie. He blames Archie completely.
And your mom?
She's bought into it. She's no help.
And you can't sneak away from them?
They caught me trying to knock on Archie's door last week. Now they take turns monitoring me like I'm a criminal. The only reason they let me come visit you is because they know for a fact Archie's at baseball practice.
Juggy shakes his head.
Where they willingly put a bat into his hands.
Unbelievable.
He clears the last of Betty's chips.
What if I told you I could get your parents off your back for an afternoon?
I'd say you were a miracle worker.
Duh.
Betty blinks.
You're serious?
Text Tony to meet you behind the gym in 30 minutes.
I'm supposed to be home in 20, Jug.
I promise you won't be missed.
Puzzled, Betty pulls out her phone and types a message to Tony Topaz.
Now drop your phone on the grass.
Okay.
She does as she's told.
And tell me where you're going?
I'm going to meet Tony, right? Jug, what are you...
You trust me on this?
Betty bites her lip and stares up at Jug.
Only you.
Then wheel, Betty Cooper. Wheel like you've never wheeled before. Go!
Chapter 12. Mr. Trust Fund.
At that same moment at the Riverdale Correctional Facility, Reggie Mantle, dressed in an orange jumpsuit, is led to a holding cell by a prison guard.
In here, Mantle. Your folks will come and get you as soon as all the paperwork is done. Hell of a lawyer you got there, kid.
Reggie sullenly enters the cell.
Guess she forgot how much volunteer time Betty Cooper put in at the station here.
The guard swings the heavy metal door shut, then leans in close to the bars.
But we didn't, you punk. You might be strolling out of here in a few, but you so much as jaywalk, every cop in town will be on you like red on an apple. Got it?
Reg doesn't say a word as the guard turns and walks away. He sits down on his bunk and hangs his head, running his hands through his dark hair.
Well, well. What do we have here?
Reggie looks up to see a middle-aged convict with red hair and stubble, sneering at him from the shadows.
You look like a little rich kid. Should I know you, little rich kid?
The red-haired convict grins.
Nah, why would I, right? I'm not from here. Just passing through while they moved me downstate. Still serving 10. Don't screw up like I did, Mr. Trust Fund.
Reggie doesn't answer and looks away. The convict studies him.
You remind me of my boy. Jason would be about your age now, wherever he is. Haven't seen him since he was in diapers. Him and Cheryl.
Reggie's eyes grow wide in realization.
Hope they didn't inherit their old man's means.
Were they twins?
The convict narrows his eyes at Reg suspiciously.
Uh-huh. Why'd you ask?
I know a Jason and Cheryl. Blossom.
The convict looks surprised, then saunters over to the cot and sits down beside Reggie.
Penelope said she remarried. Blossom, huh? They're in Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about him.
Oh, trust me. When I get out of here, I'm gonna tell lots of people.